Welcome to the 2012 ETI Connections podcast, a series of 2 one-day events delivered around the UK for those new to developing the skills of researchers. Thank you for tuning in to the 2012 ETI Connections podcast, an exclusive opportunity to have an insight into the programme, what happened on the day, and what are the key take-home messages and tips for those wishing to set up a successful learning environment within their institution. Towards the end of the podcast, you will also have the opportunity to hear from our participants present on the day, their objectives for joining us, the things they have learnt, but most importantly, how they will take that learning and put it into practice within their institution. I will now pass you on to Jonathan Roberts, VTI's Programme Manager for the Development of Innovative Experiential Learning Resources, who will provide a background as to why VTI are hosting these events.
Our VTI Connections programme for 2012 is a series of learning and development events designed specifically for those people who work with researchers to develop their capabilities. As part of this year's programme, we identified that there was a need for training provision for those who were new to facilitating learning and development activities for researchers or who had some experience but wanted to develop their skills further. For this reason, we decided to run a programme of workshops that could provide an in-depth introduction to facilitation skills, as well as providing participants with the toolkit of practical resources that they could immediately start using in their training.
Facilitating on-the-day activities and learning for VTI Connections 2012 are two of VTI's associate trainers, Paul Toombs and Janet Wilkinson. Paul and Janet will now provide an overview and more detail about the topics covered on the day.
Okay, well, the whole premise of the day was around experiential learning. So the what happened today was we experientially learnt. We used some of the tools and techniques that you would use with an experiential learning to create the atmosphere and the experiences for the people who arrived here today and who participated in the course together. So there's a lot of discussion, a use of some of the tools that are available from VTI, and use of some of the techniques that you would maybe have an experiential learning when all you had was a pen and a flip chart. To be able to create discussion, to be able to create the feeling of actually being a facilitator and the situations that you might face in experiential learning, and to have a really pragmatic approach based on the learning cycle as defined by Kolb that really sort of infiltrates and underpins a lot of the work that we do.
Paul and Janet will now provide some key take-home messages and tips as highlighted on the day.
Three things from me, really. One is that having had some practice in a safe and supportive environment here today, then you should use something that we've used today within the next week to be able to actually give it a go. The second is to not reinvent the wheel on anything, but maybe look at sessions that you run and look at ways in which you could introduce an experiential learning element to it rather than revamping all your programmes from an experiential learning perspective. And the third is to look at the resources that you have around you or you could create easily or have access to easily that you could then bring into your own experiential learning practice.
I certainly agree with what Janet's just said in terms of practicing and starting to do it as early as possible. And you don't have to do that within the researcher environment. There are many opportunities for people to experiment and try experiential learning outside. It might be with a school, a society. Maybe it's just a 15-minute experiential activity. The key thing is to start doing it, because the longer that we wait to do it, the harder it will become. So start, do something straight away.
As the podcast draws to a close, now let's hear from some of those participants on the day as to their objectives for joining, things they have learnt, and what they may implement back in their institution. Firstly, we have Dr. Patricia Krause, manager at the University of Strathclyde. Why did you decide to join us for the event?
We've been trying to develop a course and a number of courses that would help researchers engage with non-academic communities and helping them making their research more accessible to others, and specifically users of research that are not academics.
What would you say you've learnt from today's event? What are the key things?
Well, the key things would be to be in control of what you're doing as a facilitator without being controlling over your participants, and to be flexible in your approach and recognizing the moments where you have to tighten the grasp you have on your activity, and then recognizing the moment where you have to loosen.
So out of the things that you've learned, or the things that you're going to take away, what will you potentially put into practice in your institution?
Trying really to be creative about the activities that you develop, and moving away from a model where you're just speaking to the people that you're delivering a training to, but really more focusing on enabling to recognize their own skills and developing them so that they can reapply it in their own way, in their work.
Next, we have Mr. Erwin Lai, an academic staff developer at the University of St. Andrews. So why did you decide to join us for the event? What were your main objectives?
Michael, I'm very new to experiential learning, and I was really keen to come today to understand what experiential learning is all about and to learn as much as I can about it so that I can use it in my workplace.
So what have you learned from today's event? What are the key things?
One of the key things is I've really begun to understand what it is to really run an experiential learning event and what it means to be a facilitator. I think we use this word too loosely sometimes in higher education. And I've picked up so many valuable tips and techniques here today, some insights from our two very experienced facilitators who've run the event today. And just being involved in those experiential learning activities has been so valuable for me.
So out of all the things that you've learned, what would you be thinking to put into institutional practice at St. Andrews?
Well, I think it's just a total package. I've learned so much, and I think we don't do experiential learning enough in our workshops. So we run workshops, but a lot of it is information giving.
Right.
And I think trying to really look at how we can do our workshops differently and really incorporate some of these activities, which will be very valuable to participants.
And finally, we have Dr. Elena Goloshkovina, a training facilitator at the Glasgow Caledonian University Graduate School. So why did you decide to join us for the event? What were your main objectives?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I'm a postgraduate researcher myself, but I'm also delivering some training courses for researchers. So, and it's always great to learn some new techniques and actually to see what other people are doing. So basically my objective was to learn more about some new techniques and actually to share experiences with people who are doing similar things.
So from today's event, what are the key things that you've learned?
Mm-hmm. Well, some of the key things, so first of all, these are the techniques, because it's actually a great opportunity just to observe experienced trainers, how they are behaving with their audience, so what are the techniques that they are using, so what are the challenges that might face. So I think that's actually the experience by itself, apart from, you know, just being able to share the experiences with other people who are in a similar situation. So, and also it's good to have a mix of people. Some of them are some more experienced than others, so I think it's good to learn from each other, so, and also get some contacts around the country.
Mm-hmm. And from that, what will you, kind of all the things that you've learned, what will you put into practice in your institution when you're doing mm-hmm. your training?
Yeah, well, actually, Janet gave me really a great idea about their Vitae booklets, because I think it's such a great asset, and I think we're underusing them basically across the country. I'm not sure how many actually implementing what is written in them in practice, so I was thinking maybe to take some of them and try to introduce it in my institution, because actually a lot of the content that's there, it's not available, I mean, in the form of workshops or courses at my institution, so I think maybe it would be great to do that.
Well, we are now at the close of the Vitae Connections 2012 podcast. For further information about the entire Vitae Connections program, please visit www.vitae.ac.uk/Vitae Connections 2012. Thank you for tuning in.